The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome on board. Welcome on in. We have Tyler Shuck with us today, the future starting quarterback of the Oregon Ducks, and of course, the former Hamilton Husky, one of many quarterbacks that Arizona let get away. That is coming up on today's show. Plus, Eric, who will join us shortly, has his 2020 vision. There's a lot going on today I want to get to. Opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. That is with your life insurance. If you do not have your life insurance, if during this COVID period, you're like checking boxes of got to clean out the garage, got to sort through old bills, got to take care of this, got to eliminate that. Oh, I have not done my life insurance and I have these rugrats now running around I never thought would show up. Guys, life moves fast, okay? Life moves fast. So make sure that your life insurance is up to speed and check into Peace Assured, something that's a program that, trust me, you'll want to make sure you have Peace Assured for when you're no longer here. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Here's Eric Sorensen. What is new? What is on your mind today? There's some really interesting stories today on my end. What do you have? Nothing? Everything?
Well, I guess today's just going to be a quarterback show. I mean, you're going to talk to Tyler Shuck. My 2020 vision guest is going to be Parker Navarro.
Oh, yeah.
The now former starting quarterback at Desert Vista, who is on his way to UCF. Scott Frost got that thing started. Josh Heupel is now the head coach. They are rolling along. They played in the Fiesta Bowl a couple years ago against LSU. And Parker is a three-sport athlete at DV.
Oh,
not
like
a two-sport, a three-sport. So I'm looking forward to talking to Parker.
No, that's good stuff. Very much looking forward to that. So Ken Kendrick named today the board of directors of the Baseball Hall of Fame. This is not the lead item in terms of sports, but to me, it kind of is. Because, you know, when Ken, it made me think, in 2004, when Ken Kendrick took control, Jeff Morad came in, Jerry got ambushed, Jerry got pushed to the curb and over the cliff. Ken, from that point forward, had a lot of people looking at him saying, what is he doing? And we really don't trust him. In all fairness, fans were really mad. They changed the uniform colors. They splashed red paint everywhere, got rid of all the purple. They made mistakes. We had the Josh Burns stuff. We had A.J. Hinch. We had just a whole myriad of things. And then, as time progressed, in 2011, the All-Star Game came to Phoenix. Ken Kendrick had to make that happen. The Diamondbacks every year do a terrific job with the Diamondback charities. And by the way, the best kind of charity is the kind of charity that nobody knows about. So they don't go around patting themselves on the back all day and all night. They just go do. And I really like that about them. So today for him, and I don't know, there was a story that, were you in on this one? I think you were. When Ken put his baseball card display out at the Phoenix Art Museum.
Mm-hmm.
I went to that. You didn't come with me on that one, did you?
Did not.
But so Ken, I think this is just a little bit more of, this is a good move for Ken Kendrick and for the baseball community. I know right now people are like, Brad, I don't care. I just want games. But I can find a little bit of silver lining here and say this is cool. And nod to Ken Kendrick because I think he's done things right. The team's been competitive for the most part. They haven't gone through the 10-year abyss like we're going to celebrate in, what is today, the 14th? Not that I'm counting. 16 days until the Suns are hitting the magic 10-year mark of not having a playoff game. 10 years!
Have you been to Cooperstown, Brad? Have you been to the Hall of Fame?
I have not. Okay, I've been to the Little League World Series, but that's in Williamsport. And that's a cool event. You would love that event.
So I have been to Cooperstown.
Yeah.
And Ken Kendrick isn't just a baseball owner. He is a baseball fan. He is a baseball fanatic. He is a baseball collector. So it only makes sense that someone like Ken Kendrick would be involved in the National Baseball Hall of Fame because he could spend 5 straight weeks in the museum. Honestly, he could. He could go there every single day and just nerd out on baseball, and he would be happy as a clam. And I mean that in the best way possible.
No, you're right. When I got him at the art museum, he was just, well, let me tell you about this card and how about this ball? And, you know, you see an autograph on it, but you start to hear about the underground market of how that ball, which Ken eventually came in control of, wasn't just, I'm going to go on eBay and bid a few bucks for it.
Right.
And he's always been into the game. Like, Ken's always been about the game. He's made mistakes. He's made some dumb quotes. Give me an owner. Give me a personality who hasn't, right? It happens. But I'm very happy for him. Joe Buck admitting that Fox is going to pump in crowd noise for football games in empty stadiums. That's kind of like the Masters, where you hear birds chirping like they're right inside of Tiger Woods' hat in his backswing.
I'm okay with it. I'm just okay with it. Can you imagine watching Seinfeld without the laugh track? Eventually, people will get used to it.
But initially, they're going to hate it.
It's going to be weird. But you know all those games are going to be shot so tight. You're going to see more close-ups on coaches and players and offensive and defensive coordinators. And when they go to the booth, they're only going to show the booth. They're not going to give you the wide shot.
They're going to give you a replay of the touchdown while the extra point is already over the upright.
That's it. Exactly. From ground level.
And then they're going to go right to a shot of, here's the river of Cincinnati with a boat. Forget about trying to That's what they're going to do. We're going to see the Tillman statue more than we've ever seen the Tillman statue. We're going to see more cutaway shots, they say in the business, of cactus. Like, there's this perception in New York, I guess, that we just live like Saudi Arabia. But all that's out here are cactus and dust.
Like, or this one, Brad, that I like, is when the festival was here, they kept pumping us with, this was a few years ago, pumping us with shots of Old Town Scottsdale. Yeah, like, Old Town Scottsdale is right down the street from Glendale. No.
Yeah. No, it's not even close. No, but you're right. That we're going to see more stuff that we will watch, but I'm a guy that has the volume down usually. I don't need to sit there. I no offense to our profession, but it doesn't matter to me who does the game. At the end of the day, the game is the game. So if I'm in a sports bar, which I will go back to sports bars, there's a little bit of comfort for me to sit at a sports bar and hang out. I hear that like BBW is all, they're making big changes. We're going to see big changes in the sports bar business because people hang on top of each crowd noise being pumped in, shots that don't show any fans. I think we're already there already in a lot of these bowl games. Bowl games are shot that way where they want it to look like there's people. There's nobody there.
Brad, these NFL stadiums are going to tarp the stands like we see for those bowl games when they don't sell the tickets in the upper deck, but you have, you know, Sony and other huge sponsors just buying these huge tarps to get their TV time?
Yes.
Chick-fil-A, Allstate, whoever. Allstate. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
In college football, they pull the Allstate net up, right? So, no, I think on a business side of sports, when they come back, if they come back, I was talking with someone yesterday in the healthcare profession, and we're actually going to put him on the air. It's Mike Greger over Blue Cross Blue Shield. We're going to put Mike on next week on the TV show because the conversation I had with him about what they're seeing on the high school football end of things and what may or may not happen, he gave me things that I'd never thought about and just the whole safety side of it. And so the way that the game is going to be presented, how can you get a game even put together? Just the Cardinals, they've got to get DeAndre Hopkins' contract figured out. How can you figure it out when you have no idea what the revenue is going to look like next year? And the NFL, it's all based off the revenue. So he needs a raise. He's like seventh or eighth highest paid wide receiver. They have no idea without fans in the stands.
Right.
It's not just the TV money on that deal. We're nerding out here on business side, but and I'm going to nerd out on business side on the other side because Brian Windhorst, who we've had on the show before, I don't know if you've heard what he is suggesting to Adam Silver to do and to think about, but it's pretty random and pretty out there. We're going to get into that on the other side. Eric and I will be back with more. And then we'll have Tyler Shuck with us. And Eric will have his 2020 vision with Parker Navarro. That's all straight ahead. So there are a few things online yesterday and this morning that caught my eye. One was Herm Edwards yesterday. Did you see Herm on the Pac-12?
I didn't see it, but I saw some of the funny outtakes on Twitter. So
I was watching when he busted Jonathan Smith, coach Morgan State, who is a very good player, and he's done a good job up there.
He has.
He's got like this whole bookshelf, but he doesn't have Herm's book. So Herm was ripping him. And then Chip Kelly and Herm, it was kind of fun. I mean, what are you going to say? It's May. We're in a pandemic. We don't know where there's going to be football. But Brian Windhorst. We like Brian. Last time we had Brian on, we actually used him in a TV show over on ABC 15 where he crushed and destroyed Robert Sarver, which is not, you know, that's not the hardest thing to do. But we like Brian. And Brian is plugged in, right? We would say Brian is plugged in. Brian Windhorst suggesting on the air that if he were talking to Adam Silver with everything in place, that they shut down the season now. They go back to training camp in mid-October, late November, or early November. They do the playoffs for this year. Then, and then they wrap up the season, and then they start the new year on Christmas Day. Now, think about that, because if you're the team that plays all the way to the finals, the amount of energy and effort you're putting out, you're done. So then you're going to turn around a week later and say, okay, let's get going with the next year. I'm not crushing Brian Windhorst here, but you know and I know that he's got his ear to the ground a little bit. If this is one of the things that they're considering.
That is a radical idea, but it's not the worst idea I've ever heard. I don't necessarily agree with it, but these players, Brad, have been doing nothing. So,
no, I understand that.
I don't necessarily want to hear the, oh, they're going to be really tired when they get back, because they haven't had to travel. They haven't had to play. I know they're itching to get into a facility and get shots in. I guess some teams have already done that, but this is a whole new ground for all of us.
Right.
For all of us. So, you know, no idea is that bad and that radical. Because we just don't know what's going to happen the rest of the year.
I guess when I look at a guy like, let's just use Kevin Durant as an example. And for him to come back now, no. For him to come back in November or December, it's almost like an unfair playing field. Like, well, you guys went through the regular season without him, and he wasn't going to play in the playoffs. But now because of the pandemic, all of a sudden he's eligible? That to me is not equitable. It's like you played the regular season because of this. Deal with it. One of the best players in the history of the game is going to be able to play.
But that's not the Nets' fault.
That's not the
Nets' problem.
But if you take Kevin Durant and he goes, let's just say that Brooklyn goes all the way through, and they were to make it to the finals and they play in the finals. Kevin Durant is not even a year removed from that injury, so he's going to be putting out a lot. Week, 2 weeks later, he's going to be asked to be put out a lot again. And I guess I'm in the side of the players of, you're right, they're not doing anything right now. But it's not like all of a sudden you ramp up and we're just going to cram all these games down your schedule.
Agreed.
And so the wear and tear on the tire, like LeBron James, as much as I like watching LeBron play and he never takes games off, he never has the Kawhi Leonard rule. Even a guy like that is going to break down at some point in time. And so if the league is trying to make 2020 whole in terms of number of games, they want to do their 82 games and they want to have the playoffs, then you got to turn back around and say, okay, 2021, we're going to take a hit. Because if all of a sudden you're going to say, well, we're going to start on December 25th and play 82 games in 2021, somewhere along the way, there's going to be about, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 weeks where star players are, there is going to be load management for the teams that went a distance. There would be load management. And maybe that is the way to go through this. When I heard that from Brian, I'm like, I know that there's a lot of radical ideas out there, but man, that one, what if the guy wants to retire? What if, I mean, guys get to the end of the road and they're done. You don't like this.
Here's the thing.
Play. Here,
here's,
play.
here's the thing.
Yeah.
We have Pedro Gomez on this show. We have Peter King on this show. We have insiders on this show who yes. say things to you that yes. we think, like, where did that come from?
And we
but
know.
But the people that they're talking to yes. are the people that either make the decisions or have influence on the people who make decisions. I don't think Brian Windhorst would just throw this against the wall to see if it sticks for no reason.
Well, but the league, you have to remember.
I mean, he's not Stephen A. Smith. He's Brian Windhorst. So let's.
But do you think that the NBA, with their partners, and ESPN is a partner, are using their people to float things out to see what the reaction would be?
Sure.
Do you think that happens?
Sure. And they, yeah. I think they should. I think, in a way, that's smart marketing.
So in this case, if they came back with that, versus what I hear right now of opening up the facilities and seeing and hoping, like, whoever's first to market on this, and if any of their players, like NASCAR, okay, and then I can take a break for Tyler Shuck, but NASCAR is returning this weekend. Some people care, a lot of people don't. They're hoping to gain some audience from iRacing. That's great. They are holding their breaths. They've already said it publicly. They know they're the first ones back. If any pit crew, any drivers test positive, if they have an outbreak on the circuit, they're screwed forever. They're hosed. Now, it's great this weekend. We've got some golf this weekend. We've got some match play this weekend, and we've got NASCAR. If the NBA opens up these facilities like they're talking about doing, and a team goes down, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys test positive, now we're not even only looking at 2020, we're looking at 2021, which we right. may be anyways. So I just, it's not the worst idea. I'm just like, wow, they would go that far. Lakers win in the championship over the Sixers, and 10 days later, let's get the next season going. How's that work? That's all. All right. On the other side, Tyler Shuck. Oregon quarterback, Hamilton Husky. I think he is the starting quarterback at Oregon. There's no question in my mind. But I want to talk to him about his little brother, too, who's on the radar. And how is he handling this whole pandemic with a program like Oregon? That is next. All right, as promised, Tyler Shuck is back on the show with us. The Oregon quarterback, former Hamilton Husky. He is pretty much trapped here in the Valley. You would be up in Oregon right now if things were open, if none of this were going on, right?
Yeah, we'd be full spring ball mode right now and probably summer school coming up soon. So,
missing spring ball for you means what?
Fortunately, we got 4 practices in already, so I got to have some new reps in this new offense, but it's obviously a huge deal because – now, this is valuable time to get to know the playbook and with my teammates. So I know a lot of schools out there didn't even get any practices in. So I'm thankful we got some in right now. But what we've been doing is just trying to learn the playbook through Zoom and stuff like that. And, you know, it's obviously not easy.
Yeah. Are you bored by this?
No, I mean, I've definitely adapted so far. It was definitely weird just going to online everything. But it's definitely a new way of learning. And, you know, you got to do what you got to do and just find a way to get better.
I saw you throwing at a park and you were throwing to your brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to know, because below the surface, Brady Shuck's name is really starting to blow up in the high school world. So what can he do on the football field that you can't?
Just about everything else but throw, I think. Yeah, he's a phenomenal athlete. I think he's gotten so much better this past year, just working out with me and some other D1 wide receivers and safeties in the off season, which has been great. He's fast, athletic. He put on like 10, 15 pounds since last year, so he's sitting around 200. So I'm really excited for him. You know, he's got all the tools he needs. I think hopefully this upcoming season he can showcase it, and you know, a lot of schools are got to be on the radar for him.
Okay, so you go over to a track, you two line up, I put the gun in the air and fire it off. Who wins in the 100?
Brady does. My speed has definitely increased since Oregon. I know in high school we didn't really run the ball a lot, and part of that, or I didn't run the ball a lot, it was part of that because I had a good old line and never really had to with Jawar Jordan. But I felt like I've increased, and he still beats my butt every time. So I don't know how he does it, but he's got a great form, a great fast twitch muscles, and something I've always been trying to get back at him, and he's always bragged to me about it.
Okay, so but if you go out on the field and you throw, what are you, 30 yards better, 40 yards better? It's not even close, right?
Yeah.
We're talking with Tyler Shuck for a couple of minutes. Where do you think he's going to go?
I'm not sure. I know he's talking to a lot of Mountain West, a couple of Pac-12 schools. Maybe some of the academies are talking to him as well, like Air Force and Army. But you know, obviously this spring is huge for high school recruiting, and obviously they didn't get to do that, so that was kind of a bummer. Mm-hmm. But I think going into the summer and going into the fall, I think and after the season, he's going to blow up a lot. And I'm not sure yet. He's really open to anything, and he's just waiting on his opportunity.
Is he pinging you right now, saying say nicer things about me?
No, I forgot my.
You're good.
So
you're good. There's a quarterback coming up that you are very familiar with, named Landon Jury, that I've been talking about for the last couple of years as the next great quarterback in Arizona. I don't know if he's going to ever be Tyler Shuck worthy, okay? But fill those in who aren't aware of what Landon Jury is all about.
Yeah, Landon's a great kid. He comes from a great family. He's got a great foundation, and I think he just wants to work hard, and going to be a sophomore now?
Yep.
And he's already making insane plays. Dual threat guy. He's got a strong arm. Obviously, I've been throwing with him with Dan Minucci a couple times, and he's my cousin, which was my second cousin, I guess. But so to see him kind of grow up and flourish into what he is now, and see how far he has to go as far as like physically wise, because he's just hitting the mountain peak for that. And he's gonna be a great player. So I'm excited to watch him in AZ football. Well, obviously, you know, right now it's been a great time to throw with him and my little brother because of this downtime. But usually we don't get to work out or throw with some of those guys. So it's been pretty cool to watch him grow.
If you and I are standing on the sideline watching him in a couple of years, what are we looking at, do you think?
Man, you get a lot of comparison. I think of like the Purdy brothers kind of playmaking ability, just how that he's just all over the field making throws. You know, you can't really put a finger on it, like why they can do that, play that good, make those throws, move around like that. From what I've seen, you know, he's got all the tools he needs, and he wants to be great. So I mean, I think he's gonna go far.
You mentioned Jawar. So are you seeing Jawar? Is Jawar out here? Jawar Jordan?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him a little bit since we've been back, but I know he came down for a little bit. Obviously, New York's a different situation. But you know, I've been throwing with a lot of my old high school teammates and current Hamilton guys right now. So it's been good.
Tyler Shuck with us. Okay, let's get down to business here. Do you expect to play this fall?
I expect to. I'm obviously preparing for it. You got to prepare for anything to happen. You know, we can be called back right now. So that's why I've been doing, getting my body ready and my mind right for that. You know, obviously you expect to play. You know, your coaches and everyone else is planning on playing. Obviously you don't want to see that situation where you'd have to wait longer. So right now we're hoping for the best and doing everything that we can to prepare for it.
Have you heard the discussion of the Pac-12 potentially, Tyler, saying no non-conference and we'll just play within the conference, which would mean no Ohio State, no North Dakota State, mm-hmm. And even Hawaii. And I think there's a little something there on the Hawaii game with the coach over there. So to me, there's some games that for you, that would be disappointing, I would think. Not to put words in your mouth, but.
I haven't heard that, those talks as well. Obviously, we're kind of in the dark with a lot of stuff and, you know, they have to handle their business. But obviously, you know, we're looking forward to playing non-conference games against great competition. You know, those are all three really good teams and have great coaches and great players. And obviously, honestly, I just want to play and get better. I just want to play football. I mean, it doesn't matter who it's against or when it is. I'm just looking forward to getting back out on the field and whoever we can play against.
A couple of weeks ago, we had Greg Byrne, the athletic director from Alabama, on with us. And I asked him directly about playing in the spring, and he said, we could start the season in January. We'd be fine with that. I don't know where this is going to go, but are you open to all options as well? I know you're just the player, But the safety side of it for the players is the biggest conversation in my space that hasn't been addressed. It's all well and good to say, let's play. But if this virus is floating around, player safety, talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the number one priority for every university is like the students and athletes coming back safely. And I think, you know, you got to have to do what you got to do in order to have a season. You know, obviously I'm willing to do whatever we need to do to have a season and play. So if that's what it takes, and obviously the answer would be yes, because, you know, obviously we don't really have a lot of control. Whatever we're told to do, we got to do. So that would be it.
But sitting here in May, it really, I've always said athletes are creatures of habit. So in May, you've missed some spring football, but like you said, you've had four practices. It really isn't desperation times yet. But I think once you get to around July 1st, you're going to need about 6 weeks in order to be ready to go, right? That's usual for a team, about 6 weeks. So if nothing changes in about the next 6 weeks, do you think you're going to have a different feel about everything?
Potentially. You know, obviously we'd cross that bridge when it comes. But yeah, obviously you need time for fall camp. You know, I'm using this time to get my body back, and I feel like I'm, you know, been working out extremely hard with, you know, guys like Johnny Johnson, Chance Brewington, my little brother down here, where we've been making drastic improvements. You know, this has been a great time to really focus on my body and the playbook, really, because, you know, you have unlimited access to it. But honestly, if it comes time in July, you know, obviously we want to be in fall camp during that time. So we'll make that decision when it comes, but, you know, we're hoping for the best right now.
What are you benching?
What am I benching? I'm not benching right now.
Here comes the smile. Here comes the smile.
I ain't a power lifter. I'm not a big bench guy, but.
Are you benching your weight?
Oh yeah, I can do a lot more than that.
I'm
not going to show off with any of that stuff. You're not going to look to me.
Come on, the
lift records.
Put the tank top on. Have the gun show going the next time we do an interview.
Do a little bit of that, yeah. But you know, I've been working on gaining weight a little bit. I'm up to like 220 push right now. Hoping to get to 225. So feel good though.
225 now. A year from now, 235.
I don't know. I guess it depends on how I feel. You know, obviously, if I can still run a lot, our new offense, we kind of run the ball a little bit more, then potentially yes. But I still want to be able to move around a little bit and take the hits.
Yeah, you got to catch your brother, too, in the 100. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time, as always. It's good seeing you through the years grow, and stay safe. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate you.
Here's Tyler Shuck with us for a couple of minutes. We're back with more after this timeout.
I'm Eric Sorensen. Welcome back as we continue our 2020 vision. For those of you that are not familiar of what we have been doing, basically we have been Skyping in once a day with one student athlete from as many different high schools as we can around the entire state of Arizona, spotlighting the class of 2020. Today we are excited to have Parker Navarro, three-sport athlete at Desert Vista. This is a young man that I had not really met in person until earlier today, but in talking to Coach Hines and some of the other players over at Desert Vista, he leaves quite a legacy behind with the Thunder. Parker, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you. So out of the gate here, COVID-19, the new normal, hanging out in Ahwatukee, spending time with the family, not on campus at DV. How has that adjustment been for you mentally?
Mentally, it's been big, you know, not having the normal structure that I'm used to, not having school, just the homework structure. And so it takes a toll, you know, because you don't want to feel like you're lagging behind the rest. You know, you want to stay on top of it. You want to stay ready. So mentally, I've been trying to, you know, create a routine, create habits that keep me going, keep me, you know, lifting, keep me thinking mentally. I've been reading a little bit. So just establishing that routine has been helping a lot. But, you know, it's a change. And so it's something that I've just had to adjust to.
You mentioned that routine. Take us through a normal day in Parker Navarro's life right now. Start to finish.
Yes. So a normal day would be I work out five times a week. So I'd wake up, get breakfast, get all my things ready. And then I actually go over to my buddy's house, and he has a little weight set in his garage. And so I'd go over there, we'd lift, and, you know, whether it'd be upper body, lower body, make sure I'm getting that in, stretching. And then after that, typically I'll go throw around with my friends or my quarterback coach, and we'll just train. And so I'll do that. And then usually on one of those days, one of those weekdays, I'll have like a little break day where it's more of like a yoga type stretching. I've actually picked up golfing too. So I'm not too good yet, but that's something that I'll be doing too.
We'll get to the next chapter of your football career here in a second, but I know you participated in track, and obviously your track season got either cut short or completely eliminated. How did you deal with the fact that not only did you miss most of the second semester of your senior year, including prom, I'm sure, I don't know what they're doing for graduation, but no track. How was that?
Oh, it was definitely a bummer. You know, I was looking forward to track, especially to develop my speed and endurance, and I like competing. It's fun for me. And so I was just, especially being my last year, my senior year, I'm like, I want to do as much as I can to compete in high school, because there's nothing like competing in high school. So, you know, I was looking forward to the meets. I was looking forward to all of that. So it stinks that it came to an end, but I'm trying to continue that training at least, so when, you know, my time does come at UCF, I'll be ready.
So even before your 2-year starting career DV, where you rolled up like 5,600 yards and 60 touchdowns or something insane like that, Coach Hines told me that you were just a workhorse in the weight room, and weight training and strength has always been a passion. When did that start for you?
I think that really started my sophomore year. And the reason why I love the weight room so much is because the weight room felt like one place where I can control what I do. You know, everyone's kind of even in the weight room. It doesn't take skill. It doesn't take athleticism. And so that's like kind of the even ground for me. And so to know that and to have the discipline to continue working in the weight room and see my growth and development, it was really motivating for me. And so that was something I really enjoyed doing. And, you know, I just try to challenge myself every day in there.
Okay, you mentioned UCF, Central Florida. That is where you will be continuing your academic and football career. We all know Scott Frost got that thing going a few years ago. Now Josh Heupel has taken the reins, doing great things. They played LSU in the Fiesta Bowl a few years back. Why UCF? I know you had other offers, including Arizona State, but why the Knights?
You know, when I went on my official visit there, I just felt the atmosphere of the campus and the location, especially. I've always wanted to go out of state for college. I've always wanted to get out. And that was actually my first time going to Florida on my visit. So it was a fun experience. And just something about them grabbed me. And the coaches were really, you know, they really liked me. And I want to be at a place that I'm wanted. You know what I mean? And so I just felt it from them the most in their offense, the coaching style, just everything they have. I felt like it was something that was really catered towards me. And I just feel like ultimately that was the place God was calling me to be.
Last question. You've had some time to, I'm sure, to reflect back on your Desert Vista football career, especially your senior year. As you sort of put everything in the big picture, what are you going to remember most about playing with that team and bonding with those coaches and teammates?
I'll definitely remember the brotherhood. Just the practices too, the morning practices that we had when it was, you know, a little bit hotter towards the beginning of the season. Just those times where we all struggled together in the weight room. That's the thing I think I'll remember the most. And of course, for me, the one game that I feel like I'll always remember is my game against Perry High School. It was just a shootout. That game was a blast for me. So, but just the times, you know, with my guys in the trenches and just all suffering together, conditioning, all that stuff. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, that's the stuff that I loved. And just being with them together, that's the stuff I'll take with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, no mention of the Tukey Bowl, huh? That's good. That's good. You're going to take the high road on that when you know, talking about your record against that other school. down there in Ahwatukee. So, well, hey, thank you so much for your time, Parker. It was great to catch up, and I know you and I will be in touch later on this summer, and best of luck with everything, okay?
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's Parker Navarro, Desert Vista starting quarterback. He is on his way to UCF, the Golden Knights, and that is today's 2020 Vision.